Certainly, we are thankful once again by the great God of heaven for the matchless way in which he has blessed us. Somewhere in our world, last night was someone's last night. But God has saw fit that you and I might still be above ground, and for that we all ought to be eternally grateful. We're certainly thankful tonight to be able to be back in the Lord's house once again as a family, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. We want to continue to be in prayer for Brother Keith as he continues to recover. He ran up here this morning, so I think he'll be full throttle here shortly. And so we want to continue to pray for his speedy recovery. We're also thankful for all the men, all the brothers who have stepped up in his absence and have stood in the gap as he recovers. And so tonight, if you're visiting with us, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. We understand and realize that you could have been somewhere else, that you could have gone somewhere else, but you chose to be with us here tonight, and we just pray that something will be said that will be a blessing in your respective lives. And I guess it's not really night, it's more like afternoon, it's not evening just yet. But anyway, if you have your hard copy or your electronic version of the Bible, I want to call attention to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, beginning in verse number 30, and then we'll read down to verse number 38, and then we'll skip over to verse 41. Again, that's Genesis chapter 27, verse 30 through verse number 38, and then verse 41. And for clarity and understanding, I will be reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. And if you have the Bible, you should find these words. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn son," or your firstborn rather, Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved the blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And in verse 41, now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Lord have mercy. This afternoon, I want to use for a subject, when families feud. When families feud. Previously, I suggested to you that the word family is a special word with special meaning. The word is used primarily to describe the relationship between groups of people, and when it comes to family, there exists a binding relationship that is cemented together through love and through commitment. With family, we say things like blood is thicker than water, which indicates that family ties and the family bond is stronger than any friendships we might have. And it implies that there are things we will do and there are things that we will sacrifice for family that we don't do for other people. And I don't think it was a coincidence that the great God of heaven himself, he brought us together in a powerful and a binding relationship with him and with one another as members of God's household or as members of God's family. Because I believe that God understood that if we are going to make it in this world, that we would need to band together and we will need to be willing to sacrifice and to fight for one another. But one of the most unfortunate realities of this life is that instead of fighting for one another, that sometimes family will fight against family. That sometimes families feud. And when that happens, we who are the children of God, we who are led by the Spirit of God, we must behave like we know who our family is or who our father is. And we ought to love God enough that if for no one else, we ought to forgive a family member who has wronged us and seek forgiveness when we are guilty of the wrongdoing. And in these verses, we read the very well-known account of Esau and Jacob. And most times when we consider this particular story, we do so with a focus on Jacob. Because Jacob and his history would be more prominent. And most of what is written in the Bible and therefore most of our consideration naturally revolves around. But I want to do something a little different. I want to step on the other side. And I want to view this particular story not from Jacob's, but from Esau's point of view. See, as we see this family drama play out, Esau was the one who felt that he had been wronged. Esau was the one who had something taken that was his. And when family members hurt and when family members wrong other family members, family can end up fighting against family. And as it pertained to his own twin brother, Esau said from his heart that he would take Jacob's very life for the birthright and the blessing that Jacob had taken from him. Esau and Jacob, they were what we would call fraternal twins. They weren't identical twins. Identical twins come from the same egg. They have identical DNA, and they will probably look a lot alike. Whereas fraternal twins actually come from two separate eggs, and as a result, they may look very different. Esau and Jacob, they looked different. They acted different, and they had a unique relationship. The way the old folks would say it, they said that it was from the womb all the way to the tomb. You remember in Genesis chapter 25 that their mother, Rebecca, was having a rough pregnancy. As the two boys seemed to be wrestling inside of her, and then she inquired to God about her condition. And what God revealed to her is that what she had inside of her was two nations, that these two boys would represent two nations, that one would be stronger than the other, that the older would serve the younger. And in chapter 25, if you drop down to about verse number 24 through verse number 26, you remember as Esau was coming out first, the Bible says that Jacob was so close behind that he grabbed his heel. And although Jacob was close behind, Esau was still the oldest. And as the oldest, there was something that belonged to him. Turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. As the oldest, there was a blessing that belonged to him and a right that he had by birth. And Jacob is accused of not only stealing Esau's birthright, but also stealing his blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, you drop down to verse number 15, watch what the law would later say. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, beginning in verse number 15, the Bible says, if a man has two wives, the one loved and the other unloved. That ought to sound familiar, as it will later pertain to Jacob. Y'all remember? And both the loved and the unloved have borne him children. And if the firstborn son belongs to the unloved, then on the day when he assigns his possessions as an inheritance to his sons, he may not treat the son of the loved as the firstborn in preference to the son of the unloved, who is the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the first fruits of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. As the firstborn son Esau had, he had a right. There was something that he was entitled to, something that was rightfully his, that in his mind, his own brother stole from him. And quickly, just to put it in context, I need to get on the record Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 quickly, because I have to acknowledge what the Bible later says about Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in about verse number 14, the Hebrews writer, he talks about striving for peace with everyone and pursuing holiness. And then in verse 15, he says that that no one should become defiled through bitterness. And in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 16, he says that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. The Hebrew writer is pointing out something about Esau's character that they needed to guard against. He says that they shouldn't be sexually immoral, which is a carnal and a fleshly desire that we have in this body. And then he points to Esau, who sold his birthright for a plate of food, or for a desire of his flesh. In verse 17, he says, for you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Now go back to Genesis chapter 25, because the selling of his birthright is a reference to Genesis chapter 25. See, what we have to understand is that Esau was more carnal than he was spiritual. And watch it now, because we all are at different places in this Christian walk. Okay? And so we look at Esau, we acknowledge that he was more carnal than he was spiritual. And we recognize that our brothers and sisters aren't all at the same level. And so Esau, he's more carnal than he is spiritual. And in Genesis chapter 25, if you drop down to verse number 29, we read the account of Esau selling his birthright. Now watch it. Look how it played out. In verse number 29, it says, once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Verse number 31, Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. See, knowing that Esau struggled with carnal desires of the flesh, Jacob uses this as an opportunity to take advantage of his brother. Yeah, y'all remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus had fasted for 40 days, that's when Satan took that opportunity while he was vulnerable to attack him. And the first thing he says, look at these stones, turn them into bread, and satisfy your flesh. And so what Jacob does, he waits until his own brother is in a condition when he's vulnerable. He's hungry, and you offer him some food, and you say, give me your birthright in order to have it. He took advantage of his own brother. And oftentimes, when we look at this, we focus on Jacob. We say, well, Esau, he didn't appreciate his birthright enough. He sold it. It's all about Esau. And we never see that his own twin brother took advantage of him at a moment or in a moment of weakness. And sometimes, even in the church, we got some brothers who are predators and they'll seek to take advantage of sisters. Even in the church, we have brothers who will take advantage of other brothers and sisters that will take advantage of other sisters, but that's not how God's family is supposed to operate. And so as we look at this, he said he's taking advantage of him. Verse 31, he says, sell me your birthright now. And since I'm here, let me say that we don't know whether his mother, that whether or not Rebekah had revealed to him that the older would serve the younger. Maybe she told him. But understand this, that when God has something for you, that what God has for you, he doesn't need you to take advantage of someone in order to get it. See, when God has a blessing with your name on it, no one can take it from you. And if he has something for you, he's saying, don't stab somebody in the back to get what I said I'm going to give you. Verse number 32, Esau said, I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? Jacob said, swear to me. Swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. I don't want to let Esau off the hook. We acknowledge that he did not have an appreciation of God's blessing that God had for him, what he was entitled to as the firstborn. But think about it now. From Esau's standpoint, his own brother took advantage of him. That's why he said in Genesis chapter 27, he said that he cheated me two times. And if that wasn't bad enough, he wasn't the only one in the family that had done him wrong. Turn over to Genesis chapter 27. Y'all remember that his very own mother was the instigator of the plan, as she was the one who encouraged Jacob, who coached Jacob and assisted him in the deception. And listen, we never really look at this thing from Esau's point of view, because if anybody is supposed to love you, mama is supposed to love you. And your own twin brother, if anybody ought to love you, your own twin brother ought to love you. And then when it was time to give the blessing, daddy, the one person that he knew was on his side. Y'all remember it said that Rebekah loved Jacob and Isaac loved Esau. And so the one that you knew was on your side, he then tells him that I don't have anything else left to give you. So imagine, if you can, the significant hurt and the anger that Esau felt once he found out that his closest family member had done him wrong. I don't know if we can really wrap our minds around what Esau probably felt. In Genesis 27, you remember how Rebekah had overheard Isaac getting ready to bless Esau, and how Esau was going to bring in some food, and then Rebekah, she prepared some food, and she put some of Esau's clothes on Jacob. Put a little goat hair on him so he'd be hairy like Esau. And because Isaac was a bit older and his vision was a little bad, he didn't know any better. He didn't even recognize that wasn't Esau. And then once Esau finally came in, Isaac had already blessed Jacob. And in Genesis chapter 27, drop down to verse number 34. We've already read it, but Genesis 27, beginning in verse number 34, it says, as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, oh my father. Mama had done him wrong. His twin brother had done him wrong. And now even daddy couldn't help him. But he said in verse number 35, but he said, your brother came deceitfully and he has taken away your blessing. He's saying that your brother stole what was yours. Esau said, verse number 36, Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? It means a supplanter. He was grabbing at his heel. He was trying to get him out the womb, from the womb to the tomb. Is he not rightfully named Jacob? For he has cheated me, not one time, but these two times. See, Esau felt that he had been taken advantage of, that he had been cheated out of his birthright. Yeah, like I wouldn't have sold it if you wouldn't have caught me at a time of weakness. He says, he took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And in verse number 41, now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then will I kill my brother Jacob. I don't know if we really can wrap our minds around how Esau felt. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. A family will sometimes hurt and do wrong to their own family. And we know the story. See, Rebekah then tells Jacob to run away until Esau cooled off. And after Esau cooled off, she said, we'll have you come back. But after Jacob ran off, and y'all remember, he went off to his Uncle Laban's house. And while he was there, he saw somebody that caught his eye. And so he worked 7 years for Rachel, but got Leah. Then he worked another 7 years to actually get Rachel. And while I'm here, let me suggest to you that we have to be careful, because they say what goes around comes right back around. And so what happens is Jacob cheated Esau, and then his father-in-law Laban cheated him. After he worked 7 years for Rachel but got Leah, he worked another 7 years to actually get Rachel, and then another 6 years to get some livestock. And it was at least 20 years before he would see Esau again. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis chapter 32, you remember that Jacob was now leaving Haran with his family, and he knew that he had to pass through Edom, land that was controlled by Esau. Y'all remember? In Genesis chapter 32, drop down to beginning in about verse number 3. Genesis chapter 32, beginning in about verse number 3. The Bible says, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob. Well, I thought the older was supposed to serve the younger. Now you're saying that I'm in the place of a servant, and I'm going to call you Esau Lord. Why? Because he recognizes, he understands that he had done his brother wrong. And so now he's in a position, he's got to go through this land. His brother had threatened his life. He knew he was in trouble. Now he's trying to make it right. But it's been 20 years. He says in verse number 5, watch it now. He says, I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my Lord in order that I may find favor in your sight. And since we're on this road, you know, let me say that when you have wronged someone and you know it, Jacob knew that he had wronged Esau. That's why he tried to give him some gifts when they finally met again. And so when you know you have wronged someone, don't wait 20 years to make it right. It was 20 years. 7 years for Rachel, got Leah, 7 years to actually get Rachel, another 6. It was at least 20 years before he saw his brother again.
And then down in verse number 6, Genesis chapter 32, and the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and guess what? He's coming to meet you. And there are 400 men with him. Lord have mercy. He's got 400 hitters with him. He's got 400 of them big swole brothers with him. He's bringing 400 men with him. Verse number 7, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two camps, thinking if Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape. Turn over to chapter 33. Turn over to chapter 33 and verse number 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants, and he put the servants with their children in front. Then Leah, the one that he didn't love, with her children, oh, they were second. And then Rachel and Joseph, the one he really loved, they was in the back. Y'all not seeing this. Y'all not seeing how he set this up. Esau's coming. He's got 400 killers with him. He put the servants and their children up front. He put Leah and her kids in the middle. He put the ones that he loved, Rachel and the other one, in the back. Guess who would have the best chance to escape? Then it says in verse number 3, he himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau, watch it now. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck, not to choke him. See, around about this time, we would have fell on his neck, all right. But it would have been for a different reason. But Esau, now watch it, fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. In most ways we can imagine, Esau was not a godly man. But somehow, absent of anything that Jacob did, Esau found it in his own heart to forgive him. It had been at least 20 years since Esau heard or saw Jacob. He had planned to kill him when he did. I know he didn't see him. But absent of anything that Jacob had done to make it right, Esau found it in his own heart to forgive him. And listen, if someone who was considered as carnal and unholy as Esau was, if someone like Esau could find it in his heart to forgive his brother for the wrong that had been done to him, then you and I ought to be able to find it within ourselves to forgive our spiritual brothers and sisters when we too feel that we've been wrong. See, sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, we talk about somebody having to apologize first. Well, if they come apologize, well, I'll forgive them. And I shouldn't have to forgive them if they don't want to apologize. But listen, Jacob hadn't done anything. He hadn't done anything. But Esau, being carnal, not spiritual at all, unholy, ungodly, found it within himself to forgive Jacob, and Jacob hadn't apologized. And if Esau can do it, Lord have mercy. And if Esau can do it, then those of us who are led by the Spirit of God, we ought to show enough. Can I say show enough? And y'all know what I'm talking about? We ought to show enough be able to do it. You know, we talk about how we're God's people, how we're the church that belongs to Christ. But at some point, we have to stop saying we're the church and finally start being the church. And let me quickly say that as I close, that I don't know what happened that caused Esau to ultimately respond the way he did. But perhaps in his older years, perhaps he came to understand that when God has an inheritance for you, When God has an inheritance for you, no one can take it from you, but you can certainly forfeit it. See, to forfeit means to give something up because of neglect or because of misconduct. In other words, it's not taken, but it is surrendered based on our own actions. When you play sports and your team or the other team chooses not to show up for the game, they didn't lose the victory. They forfeited. Perhaps Esau realized that nothing was taken from him, but there was something that he forfeited. When he married those fast women in Canaan and caused his parents all that heartache and grief, mama didn't take it from him. He forfeited. When he sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew, nothing was taken from him. He forfeited. And we ought to be mindful that God gives us something that cannot be taken from us, but it can certainly be forfeited. A salvation is not something that you lose. You know, sometimes we talk about salvation like I was walking down the road and I lost my salvation, like it slipped out my pocket or something. Salvation is not something that you lose, but it is certainly something that you can forfeit. When you choose to turn from God and live a life controlled by the flesh, you don't lose your salvation. You forfeited the salvation that you had. And so if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, understand that God will give you something that man can't take from you. He'll give you something that you cannot lose if you hold on to it. And so if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, what do you choose to turn from a life controlled by the flesh? And if you're here and you're not a child of God, God offers you the free gift of salvation. Why? Because he's already paid for it. He didn't put you on layaway. He's not making payments. Jesus paid it all. We're paid off. Yeah, I'm not. And so if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you ought to be. God's got a tremendous blessing waiting for you in heaven for all eternity. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you come by believing that Jesus is the Christ. John 20, verse number 31, you come by repenting of all your past sins. Luke 13, 3 and verse number 5, you come by confessing Jesus as the Christ. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, and you come by being baptized in water. What's it going to be for? It's going to be for the forgiveness of all your past sins. Acts 2, verse number 38, Mark 16, verse number 16. And then once you do that, God then adds you to his family. And thank God for his family. God adds you to his special family. He gives you a group of people who are trying to get where you're trying to go. And we're here to kind of help you and so that we all make it to where we want to make it. So if you're here tonight and you have need to put Christ on in baptism, we want you to do that. Or if you're here tonight and you just need prayer, we want to pray with you and for you. That's what family does. We're here for you to support you. And if you have need tonight to do any of those two things, we want you to come forward as we all together stand and sing the Savior's invitation. Will you come right now?